Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman. Our next guest in the studio is Isaiah Bollinger of Trellis. Welcome, Isaiah.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
A pleasure to have you. You're a co-founder and CEO. Tell us a little about Trellis.
Yeah, so I started the company about 7 years ago, a little over 7 years now. And to be honest, really didn't know what I was doing.
Has that changed in 7 years?
Actually, it has. I actually feel that I know what I'm doing now.
You're ahead of most people.
But when I started, I really, one thing I bet on is that I bet that I would learn fast. And that's kind of like always been kind of a lucky element of my personality is learning fast. And that's why I don't like being in big institutions. I feel like they kind of move slow and kind of hold me back. So I knew that on my own, it would kind of push me to go as fast as I possibly could. So in that kind of early year process, I was kind of all over the place and quickly realized that e-commerce was a very exciting opportunity for me and fast-growing opportunity and kind of a gap in the market that I saw. So that's where I focused our energy and structured the company around that in the first couple of years and started to build around kind of like even niches within e-commerce as a digital agency.
So where do you guys focus in particular?
So right now we're an e-commerce digital agency and we focus on specific platforms like Magento, Shopify, BigCommerce, and a few other platforms and technologies. So we try to identify the technologies that we think are going to be best for our customers for the foreseeable future. Obviously, we can't predict indefinitely, but...
So the industry is rapidly undergoing change. There's a lot of, security issues, obviously, concern
yes,
at that level. So what are you
definitely
seeing?
Definitely, there's a lot of concerns between just security and also just pace of change. Like, I think a lot of companies struggle to keep up. And by the time they get to where they want to, Amazon's doing something new and they feel like they're always behind. That's what we try and do. We try and help them stay up to date and ahead of the technology curve as much as possible. And that's why I think, at least for me, I'm always trying to keep my pulse on what's out there within the platform ecosystem. And then there's a lot of add-ons to the technology. So when we started, I was heavily focused on Magento and Shopify was a kind of an up-and-coming platform. So we gravitated towards that. And now we're probably a more even split between the two platforms, which is nice. So we've kind of created this more like unbiased culture, which I think is kind of unique where we're not really beholden to one technology. We're trying to help like the customer.
Platform agnostic.
Yeah. And we can really say that honestly. I think a lot of people say that, but in reality,
Bread is buttered somewhere.
They're biased towards a certain platform because that's the majority of their business. And we're kind of in a really awesome situation where we're kind of a split between a lot of different platforms. And so we want to do what's best for the customer.
So what do you see coming? What are the issues? What are the concerns?
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting right now. Magento got bought by Adobe. So I think like a lot of the platforms that used to be more SMB are going more upmarket, like Shopify and Magento. So we're seeing a lot of like very large customers gravitate towards these platforms that, you know, in the past might have gone with like a Oracle type solution or IBM type solution. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like in this semi like consolidation period where a lot of people are consolidating towards the core platforms. Like BigCommerce, Shopify, and Magento. But then there's also these fringe platforms that are showing a lot of promise. And there's kind of like this new paradigm shift called like progressive web application. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's basically just kind of like a better way to build an application is kind of the very layman term. But it's still new.
Better in terms of faster?
Faster, better for mobile, better for maintenance, more kind of future-proof. So there's just a lot of advantages to it. And then it also frees you up to have a lot more flexibility. And so that's kind of this whole new paradigm shift. And that could completely change the market because all these really established platforms still haven't quite figured that out perfectly. So I think we're going to see like kind of another shift in the market and there's opportunity for some of these smaller players to maybe gain some market share. And so that's why we're kind of like keeping an eye on some of the smaller players that are growing as well. And,
so are your customers in a particular industry vertical or are they?
They're all over the map. I would say if we had to pick a focus right now, it's manufacturing, like, you know, kind of the things that you might not see behind the scenes, like parts and things like that, because a lot of people would actually prefer to just buy that online and have a good experience online. And then distribution.
Are those mostly B2B?
Yeah, so we do actually a lot of B2B. B2B e-commerce is kind of a very unknown thing right. to the average person, but it's a huge market. So we have a big focus on B2B e-commerce, and that's where we do a lot with manufacturing and distribution. We have a really good understanding of the distribution market. We talk to the owners, we really understand their business and build around that. And then we have the traditional CPG, apparel, footwear, health and beauty. Mm-hmm. We've done some really good work in home automation and some pretty cool brands like that. So kind of all over the map, but I would say to summarize, CPG firms, distribution and manufacturing is probably the majority of what we've done. So
it's nice to hear, because you constantly hear there's no manufacturing left in this country. Obviously there is.
Yeah, there is. They're out there. And we're trying to help them get to the next level of e-commerce. So
excellent. So for a company like yourself to, I don't want to say take a flyer, take a risk with some of these new technologies, new platforms, how do you vet that?
Yeah,
how do you make that decision?
A
how do you
great get your, question.
How do you get your clients to,
It's definitely very challenging to open up a new market for both an agency and for a client to take a risk on a new technology. And we take that very seriously. So, we don't do it just on a whim. We evaluate the technologies and kind of where they're trending. So if we feel like a good example is when we did our first Shopify project, and we had never done that before, but the platform was evolving very quickly and the community was improving very fast. So we want to, the big thing that I look for is how fast is the community around the platform moving? Because if the community is not strong, then the platform's going to die out, most likely, or stagnate or not be competitive.
So what are the markers to evaluate that community? What are you looking for?
Yeah, that's a hard thing to answer. But I would say some of it is just talking to people and seeing how much kind of buzz there is out there around the platform, but also talking to a lot of the tech add-on platforms. So I look for that. So for instance, the core platform does kind of, it's the basics, and then you have all these add-ons like payment gateway or shipping or all these other little specialty add-ons to the platforms, and they will invest time to integrate with the platform. Okay. So if we see that they're starting to gravitate or maybe take a new platform more seriously, then that's usually a sign that hey, there's momentum here, there's people starting to talk about it, use it. And also if it's open source and you see that the community is big, or there's lots of ways online to kind of see where.
So determinants that it's a real deal and it's got some staying power.
Yeah, and there's a lot of there's a website called Built With that can help you kind of track the data of what people are using, so you can see if it's increasing and decreasing and things like that. So,
walk us through a little bit of what a life cycle of a project might look like with your clients. Are they, it goes from concept to execution, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would say there's kind of two ways that we work with a client. So the more obvious way is they have something that they just want to completely rebuild, and they want a whole new website. It could be a new platform. It could be the same platform, but it just kind of needs an overhaul. And so that's where we start with kind of just initial sales consultation, and then we go into a actual paid discovery, because discovery and requirements gathering, it's kind of like architecture for a building. No one's going to mm-hmm. architect your building for free, right?
Right.
But I think a lot of people in the software industry or the web design industry, they're not that knowledgeable if they're and they haven't gone through that before too much. So they might not realize oh, this is a big deal.
A real sunken cost.
Yeah, we got to pay some experts to do this. So that's a small paid engagement. We try and make that very manageable cost-wise. And then from there, that really allows us to know exactly what we need to do to get this project completed. And that's anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks. It kind of depends. I mean, there's a lot of factors that can drag that out. But and then the project typically I would say is 3 to 6 months of kind of an iterative design development process. We try and do as much concurrently as possible. So while we're doing design, there's actually back end software work that we could be doing mm-hmm. that isn't dependent on the design. So things kind of come together all at once. So on average, I would say 6 months is a pretty good timeline to expect for this kind of stuff.
Is your entire team US based, or do you have?
It's mostly US based. So we're about 45 people, and we're about, I'd say about 35 people in the United States. And then we have about maybe a little less than 10 people split between South America and Europe. And we just, we found that there's
mostly on the development side.
On the technical side, because obviously project management and communication is a lot easier to do in the United States, but there's some just really amazing talent in South America and Europe. And, to be honest, it's not that much cheaper, but it gave us cause we want to find the best people. But it's the flexibility and they're just, there's really good people there. So
it's interesting. South America, I hadn't heard that before. Yeah, you're one of the few people that I've heard.
They're really, really good.
Any countries
honestly.
In particular?
Specifically for us, I mean, I don't know if it's coincidence or not, is Argentina and Brazil. We were lucky. We had an employee from Argentina. He's like, you got to hire my friend. And he's really amazing. And we did. And he was like one of the best people we ever hired. So
great story.
Yeah.
So lessons learned along the way. You said when you started, it was something that you, you started saying.
There's probably like so many. It's hard to wrap my head around which ones are the most obvious. But definitely like hiring and building a team, I really underestimated how hard that is. When you're starting, you're like all excited and you think like other people will just kind of like join you and want to work for cheap and
march
work
and
hard.
Step,
yeah.
Right, right.
But in reality, you know, most people, if they don't have equity or they don't have, you know, a stake in the game. And even if they do have equity, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to work as hard as you. So I think I really underestimated how hard it was to get good people and keep good people. And I would, you know, take that more seriously if I was to start again and evaluate the market and what, like, I didn't know what market rates for salaries were. Like, I just had no idea how to go about hiring people.
And it's interesting because, you know, you've done all of this in perhaps, you know, certainly over the last 3 or 4 years in one of the most challenging hiring environments there is. So,
yeah,
you know, to actually find talent and attract them.
It's hard, definitely. And that's one thing that we've been working on perfecting as much as possible. Yeah. So.
Excellent. So if our listeners want to get in touch with you, want to have an opportunity to have a discussion with you about you know, your company and what you can do for them, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Yeah, I mean, just going to our website is obviously the simple way, just trellis.co, so trellis.co. So unfortunately, we're trellis.co. We couldn't, the .com is long gone, so.
I should have asked this early on. What's the foundation of the Trellis?
Yeah, that's a great question. We actually were called Move Digital, and it was spelled not Move Digital, so it was very confusing and just kind of a generic name, and we felt like a rebrand was the right move early on, and we came up with a bunch of different names. It was actually a contractor. It wasn't even an employee who is a great designer and just kind of a great mind for that kind of stuff. He actually came up with the name as a suggestion to us. And at first we were like, and then we thought more about it and we're like, because we're trying to help businesses grow and it just kind of symbolizes that. And
yeah, absolutely.
There was no major competitor that was like a giant company named Trellis. So,
Well, congratulations. Yeah. And, you know, look forward to hearing more about your company as you evolve and develop. And congratulations on 7 years, you know, sort of a, At least the first five is a magic number. You've gotten over
that
hump.
Yeah, absolutely. The next five is more the fun time, I think.
Absolutely. Our guest on Radio Entrepreneurs has been Isaiah Bollinger of Trellis. It's been a pleasure having you on Radio Entrepreneurs.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
And we'll be right back with another guest on Radio Entrepreneurs.